So we pray, Heavenly Father, we welcome your presence here in this church and in our generation in the midst of the people, O God. And we pray that somehow, by the help of your own Spirit within us, we may be able to recognize your presence for what it really is, Lord, and what it means to us. And thereby conduct ourselves accordingly, Lord, with sincerity and sobriety, as is meet before you in great reverence and exaltation and worship, Lord. May we never find ourselves as familiar with you, Lord, in a wrong way, but knowing of you and knowing you, Lord, in such a way that that relationship you desired for us may be complete in us, whatever completion there is in this hour, looking forward to that great completeness of the New Jerusalem. Bless each one, Lord, in your presence this morning, and may not one of us fail of the grace of God, but each one receive and each one make that great day that's ahead of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now this is number 8, the future home of the earthly bride. And in the last several pages of this message, it appears to me that Brother Branham is singularly and specifically emphasizing what I feel might be called God-recognized and preserved materiality, in contradistinction to that materiality which God does not recognize and discards. So I think you might have caught that in the message that Brother Branham is bringing us relative to the New Jerusalem, or in though the New Jerusalem itself is brand new in its process of being constructed, the earth itself will simply be reconstructed. The earth crust will be dissolved and the atmosphere is dissolved, and then God will bring back that which is worthy according to him. So we see here then that Brother Branham is speaking of a materiality, because it is a material city, and it's a material existence, it's a material life that we're into. Therefore, he is recognizing and preserving some, but other he does not recognize and he discards. It is very evident that God lays claim to his entire material creation. As it says in the Psalms, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Also, he told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, which were with his sons. And again he said, is it not lawful for me to do that I will? In other words, can't I do with what I have of my own, and I will do whatever I please? Then when he saw the earth was full of violence, he overthrew it with a flood and took away all the ungodly. You notice he destroyed them. The Bible says he did. And he reserved the godly and that which he wanted to reserve of this planet, its creatures, for Noah. So we see a God-recognized materiality that becomes what we might call immortalized substance. In Matthew 7, at the great white throne, we find Jesus saying, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you." It is evident these are not recognized by God to having any remaining influence or part in the kingdom of God. In Matthew 25, which is also at the white throne, he said, "Depart from me, you cursed, in everlasting fire." He does not recognize or respect these either. It's all a fulfilling of the fact that Jesus said the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God, is likened unto a fisherman who cast a net into the sea, and he brings forth both good and bad, and he throws away what he doesn't want, and he keeps what he does want. Now, since we know that God did not curse Adam, but only the serpent and the earth's crust, and also God had no respect for Cain's offering, and Cain was of the wicked one, we see here that only the sons of God through Adam are recognized, and all serpent seed are rejected and annihilated. As it says in the Scripture, whosoever's name was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here we see perfectly the tares are burned up, but the wheat goes to the place prepared for them, which is the garner. It is evident that only the plants of God's choosing, in himself will be saved. And we're talking in terms of kept. The rest are rooted up, leaving neither root nor branch. So, it's good to read a little bit in Revelation 21, 7 and 8. And it says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. 22, 14, 15. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. That's that gate, the city with the 12 foundations, the walls. For without are dogs, sorcerers, and whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh the lie. All right? That's your picture that Brother Branham has been telling us about the holy city, exactly what is going to be there in that particular order. All right. We are emphasizing God's plan of redemption for his entire creation. That's the part he wants redeemed, of course. The earth will be completely burnt over and recreated, and when it is, there'll be no devil, no evil spirits, no germs, no weeds, no perversions, and only God's righteous government and what pertains to God specifically will be in it. And only God and all his predestinated ones will be there to enjoy it. No one else will be. At that time, the new Jerusalem, which is a city in the form of a pyramid, will come down from heaven and fit perfectly over Mount Zion, according to Isaiah chapter 65. And we'll read verses 17 to 25. All right. For behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Now you'll find the same thing in the book of Revelation. Be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. In other words, the climate and the people will be one. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. So therefore, the people, the climate, and God will be one, whatever God's nature and climate is. The people will be thoroughly acclimated by the process of redemption, which they couldn't enjoy it otherwise. And I'll rejoice in Jerusalem, joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more hence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die at 100 years old, and the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Now, nobody knows what that is. There's never been an explanation of it. It could be just a type. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. Now, you're talking, you notice in here, immediately, there's a reference to the millennium. Now, they shall not build another inhabit, they shall not plant another eat, for the days are, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Now, what tree do you think that is? That's a tree of life. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It will come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are speaking, I will hear. And the wolf and lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy, and on my holy mountain saith the Lord. Now, the dust being the serpent's meat, I think, refers to the fact that the serpent that was cursed for having been the tool of the devil was have no place at that time. You will never see a person or a beast that is like enough to a man at a beast, though, that could commingle. In other words, it lets you know here that part is all over. It's all gone. So you see here that the picture this draws so perfectly is the fact that once you start leaving this earthly realm, that materiality is going into glorified materiality. In other words, expendable, deteriorating material. Corruptibility will have put on incorruptibility, and once that happens, you're moving progressively to the ultimate, which is the New Jerusalem. In other words, there's a stopping off place, there's an interim of 1,000 years that Brother Branham mentioned to us. Now, the city will be of transparent gold, and it'll be 1,500 miles four square. In other words, there'll be a base, east, west, north, south. It'll be four corners, four sides. It'll be 1,500 miles each, and 1,500 miles high. And we go to back again to the book of Revelation to see this on chapter 21, 9 to 14. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the last seven plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone clear as crystal. Now, you've got today a symbol of that in the laser, where the light rays are sufficiently agitated by a jewel in order to be of tremendous density. And so, I suppose you're looking at the only time in existence, at least put it this way, since the time of Christ, and when this prophecy was made, because this there was nothing back in the days of Noah to indicate this, and back even before then. This is a newer revelation. It's not a new revelation in itself. It is a new revelation insofar as it is an expanded revelation. So, you've got a great type here. And notice also, it says, as a jasper stone clear as crystal. And you notice again, crystal is used a great deal. It's used to bring in waves that can pick up short waves and air waves to bring in a radio. They're used today in tuners, in your video cassette recorders, and various things like that. They're used, and also they're used for the agitation of light, but not like as in a laser using a ruby or some gem. And also they're used as healing. They're called healing stones. They seem to be as peculiar as magnets. All of these things today are types of what we're looking at here in the great future beyond, where you're not being concerned with the physical things as we know them at this moment. And had a great wall great and high, 12 gates, and the 12 gates were 12 messengers, and names written wrong, which are the names of 12 tribes of children of Israel. The east gate, on the north gate, and on the south gate. And there are three gates on each side, making 12. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, or 12 layers. In them are the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talketh, he measured the city with a golden reed, and the gates thereof, and so on. The city lieth four square, and is 1,500 miles each way. Now 22-27, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be no wise enter into anything that defileth, nor whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. All right? Back to 21:1-7. And I saw a new heaven, a new earth, and the first heavens were passed away, and there's no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for husband. There was a complete change on earth, and there's no more sea. The land masses were all back where they were originally. An upheaval takes place in the earth. Mount Olives, we'll find out, at the place of Mount Olives, becoming Mount Zion, and the New Jerusalem and a pyramid figure comes down upon it. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Doesn't say in them now, dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall be all tears in their eyes. There be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There be nothing there to cause those things. See, now, within the heart of man himself, originally, was not those things. That's why you'll find that Melton Wilkinson, talking on the ancient tribe that was before the flood, there were two peoples called the children of light and the children of darkness. And the children of light were kind and sweet and happy, never were warlike, never were causing problems. No son of God is any different or no child that God ordained is any different from an Abel. They can be tricked, and they can be fooled, but in themselves they do not initiate or propagate. There's no desire there. You see? So all of those things that contributed, especially the serpent seed, which is animalistic and brings all these hateful things into people's nature, where it's hard to be submissive, so that for the sake of Christ, the sake of peace, the sake of everything, you're willing to lay down what you know to be yours, whereby you could defend yourself. You say, no, I'll just let people run over me. Of course, that only goes so far and no further. Brother Bannon said truly that because you're a Christian doesn't mean people got to run all over you, because they'll just do it for the sake of running over the top of you. If God is not being glorified in this thing, you know, then it's ridiculous. It's just like many years ago we thought it was great, you know, to be crazy Pentecostals, you know. If we were going to be, if word would have gone out, you know, they're going to martyr me. I'm here martyring me. When the Bible says if they persecute you one city, you flee to the next. Somebody's loused up and he's thinking. The brother, sister, please let's go to the Word of God and know what the Word of God says, because therein lies sanity. And his brother Branham so correctly said, this is an hour of insanity. All right, there's nothing going to be there to bother you. It's going to be marvelous. All those things that are wrong are passed away. And remember, you yourself will not have one thing within you that has any remembrance of the former. You're going to be a brand new person. See? So your responses are going to be entirely different. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'll give unto them him that is athirst of the fountain of the water like freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire, with the lake which burneth fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In other words, annihilation will overtake them. Now, there's a word in there that is very, very strong. The first word, and fearful. How many people at the end time are fearful concerning Brother Branham? Absolutely. Wouldn't touch him with a 40-foot pole. You've got to be a fearless type of person for the end time. You've got to know where you stand, or believe me, you're never going to make it. Because if you're fearful, you're unbelieving. The next thing becomes abominable. The next thing becomes a murderer. And then you level off to all these things, whoremongering, and that of course is a spiritualized word, which means you're out there in denominations and going off the Word of God, sorcerers and idolaters, liars, all those things. All right. From the fact of what we have read, there will be all things immortalized. And this is what Brother Branham was trying to show us, that we are not going to go there and be somebody else to another world that is someplace different in the sense of location all, but we will be the same people without the inhibitions and without the motivations that we once had. It's going to be a matter of the true character of what we are in Christ Jesus, and the place will be right here on earth in the home that he's prepared for us. So from the facts of what we have read, there'll be all things immortalized, even eternalized. People and animals and buildings will never decay. All redeemed by God in an everlasting covenant through the blood of the Lamb and maintained by the presence of God himself. Let's look at that presence of God in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah is speaking of his experience with God. We'll read the first 7 verses. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings, with 20 he covered his face, with 20 he covered his feet, and with 20 he did fly. In other words, they couldn't even look on God. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now watch what happened. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal, fire, in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Couldn't handle it, it was so hot. Burning fire. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. What an angel couldn't touch with his hands had to take tongs laid upon the lips of a man. thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And that's exactly what we're looking at for the end time, after the millennium, the presence of God, the cleansing fire, the recreation, and everything new, and everybody there like Isaiah, completely purged of every iniquity. And that's the most beautiful thing of all. I think myself that you and I could stand anything on this earth, that anything on this earth might deal us, if we just had that real revelation and peace and understanding of this complete righteousness which is of God. Nothing else would really matter. But that's the thing we have to grow into through this word, is that revelation. Now, last Wednesday we were reading about this wall surrounding the city. So we want to go back there to page 54 and verse and paragraph 249, and we'll read the entire paragraph. The new city and the new earth, now remember, this is upon the restructured earth. And we're going to be a part of it. The new city, new earth, the new creation, the city on the hill with the throne on the top of it. The throne up here in the top, and the dwellers all up and down this mountain. And the wall that's around this had 12 foundations, or 12 layers, made of 12 layers of blocks in a series. And each one had, and each one of them had the breastplate stone that was an Aaron's ephod, that's a girdle over the shoulders, which represented the 12 tribes of Israel. So that each layer, each stone, and there are 12 of them, was one of the stones. Why, 1,500 miles? Think of that. A jewel, 1,500 miles in each direction? I'd like to see a sapphire. 1,500 miles long in each direction, each layer, except where the gates of pearl butt in. They come in. A pure sapphire and rubies. Now, just like the ephod, the girdle that he put over his shoulders, one stone for each tribe. So there's one each layer, and the foundation is a solid gem. They talk about 2 carats being like a hen's egg. So look at this. Won't that knock your eyes out, she said. Like the girl that got engaged. She can't help herself. No, it's with this hand, isn't it? How do you like to have one, say, about even 100 miles long? And I think 216 feet high is what the figures are. Each one transparent, I think. You look through that wall, everything would take on a beautiful glow like you couldn't be possible. Imagine if little kids were there, they'd have a great time. Of course, there's 216 feet tall kids, I can't quite believe that. But at least they could stand back and look. Then the glory of God shining through on it. We'll talk about that too. What a fantastic picture lies ahead of us. 12 layers of those stones, each one and representing the breastplate. Aaron, the high priest, that's representative of Christ, showing that he's carrying, as he carries the lambs in his bosom, and he's carrying these stones, which now represent each tribe, which represent the people, and how the Lord must cherish his own, and how he must shine through his own at that particular time. Must be fantastic beyond our wildest imagination. Then on top of that, there's 4 gates set just exactly like the tent in the wilderness. And notice, each gate had to represent 3 apostles, 3 on each side, 12 apostles altogether, 144 cubits high. Well, that's the gates. Man alive, and that's just a small part of the wall. That's 216 feet high, making each one of those big stones, and Brother Branham got it figured, each one of the big stones be 20 feet tall. So the whole thing is roughly 20 feet for each stone. That's what he's got this figured. If the gate goes all the way to the top. What if the gate doesn't go all the way to the top? What if you got a keystone up there and some arches in there? Well, let's say that goes all the way to the top. All right, then You got twelve jewels, hundreds of feet long and 20 feet each, roughly 20 feet. Great big stones. Those breastplate stones and the gates make up the walls that are around the city. Now, the gates, of course, are pearls. And how big is each gate? We'll have to look that up. That's a tremendous pearl. let's see. We read that already in Revelation 9:21. We don't have to read it again. We didn't read all the way down, did we? Let's go back to Revelation 21 again. Because this is kind of hard to follow through by just using your memory. Now, he showed the Lamb's wife, having the glory of God, that's verse 11, her light was like unto a stone, most precious, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, had a great wall in high, 12 gates, 12 messengers at the gates, the names of the children of Israel on them, 3 gates on each side, making 12 altogether. Verse 14, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, 12 series of stones, in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me in a golden reed to measure the city, of the gates thereof, the wall thereof, the city is 4 square, 12,000 furlongs, that's 1,500 miles. Each dimension was the same perfectly. And 18, the building of the wall was a jasper, and the city was a pure gold like under clear glass. The foundations were all manner of precious stones, jaspers, sapphire, chalcedony, emeralds, sardonyx, sardius, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprases, jacinth, amethyst. And 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every separate gate, the word several means individual or separate. Not several, like 3 or 4. That's as old English, and it's certainly a mess. Each individual gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it also were transparent glass, and I saw no temple. Fantastic. 250. Now, the city doesn't rest on top of the wall. Now, that's something here that I think you might see. Pictures drawn in different magazines, not magazines, but you know, articles, and they got the wall like, and I'm not very good at drawing, you can see that. Now you got, who's an artist? Never mind, Brian, I know what he's bringing up here. Here they got like this here, see, now this is supposed to be the wall, and now here's the top of the wall, which is not the top of the wall, you know what I mean. Then they got the building, see, going up like this. See, that they got the city here. And that's not true. That is not the foundation. That's not true. See, that's we don't want to have that kind of idea, because Brother Branham sets us right on that, and that's the scripture. See, the city doesn't rest on top of the wall. See, it's got its own foundation. Because the city 1,500 miles high cannot do that. It's a wall here that you enter in. So we'll change the color, the wall, not the same wall. Here's a wall here, see, and you enter in. Here's the door. Then you see, back here, there's a space, and your city comes this way. There's a space in between, see? It has its own foundation. This foundation actually goes way down here. See, that's where that city comes in. And this extends here, so that you know that's very poor drawing, but you get the idea, see? You don't have the idea, come back. For another lesson in cartoon. This is just not my 40. It's a wall here that you enter in, like the gates of old Jerusalem, see? Tell it. You enter through the wall into that city, and each one of these 12 foundations, through the 12 foundation, that's, we got, you know, marked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12. All right. And each one had the emerald and different stones which represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And for the apostles, there were 12 gates, and each big gate of one solid pearl, and the name of an apostle was set on it. And didn't Jesus say, you'll sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel? Who sat at the gate to judge when they came into the city? Oh my, there you are. The kings of the earth are entering into the city. The kings of the earth, as we're entering the city, come before the apostolic judge, as Jesus promised. Now, what you got here, of course, you got here that Brother Branham mentioned by the word of God, You got people sitting in the gates. Of course, you'd have three gates on each side. You'd have one gate here, and one gate here, and one gate here, making 12. And then you'd have one judge here, and one here, and one here. Now, I want you to notice here, when you're talking about coming into the gates of the city, it is evident that the people here are not going out, and then as they come back, they have to have the password. No. That's not at all it. What you're looking at here is bride. And all out here is all the rest of the people, which are kingdoms. Pardon the abbreviation. See, all out here. If in here the containment and is predestinated, which it is, to fit perfectly, 1,500-mile pyramid. That's all there is there. That's in here, the bride. Down here, there could be billions. Foolish virgin, you want to call them. Because, actually, Brother Branham said, there's no difference between virgins. They're just virgins, there are two kinds, but there's really no difference. Virgins of virgins. This one virgin had oil, which was the Holy Spirit, and thereby a revelation to know the word of the hour. This one had no oil. Down here, these virgins here, number two. Now, they're not equally divided. He said it's the same cloth. Now, you take a piece of cloth, and a person is going to take and cut a pattern out of that cloth. They say the pattern sort of looks like this. So, then you got another pattern down here, maybe a little different pattern. It's the same cloth, but this represents number one virgin with the oil. This is the number two without oil. These are not destroyed. They come in. That's at the end. So, you come into the city. Now, let's see what else we find out here. And you got those, the kings of the earth come through, and they stand before those apostolic judges. Oh my, 251. On this throne, on top of it, 1,500 miles high. Well, I think I better do this a little better. We've got the picture now so far. You've got the picture of the wall. Let's just make this a little different here now. We just leave this out here to show what's around the edges. Let's get our picture here of the pyramid. That's very, very, very poor pyramid. Better more like this here. That's better. I'm leaving the top blank right now for the time being. Because we're going to put a throne on that, see? A throne up there. Now, down here, we got the wall, and we're going to use what they call a cutaway view. There's your wall here. And here's your cutaway view. Going in here. So, he tells you, this is 1,500 miles high, and we'll talk about that a little later on. That's why I got the board up here. And he says here, on top will be the throne, and the whole world will see the light of the world. Now see? In other words, all around the entire earth planet, as we know it, that light is going to emanate and is going to be seen, as it were, a beacon. Though it is not truly a beacon. The word beacon is a bad word. Because the word beacon suggests that somebody's having trouble. You need a light there. So we don't like that word too well. We just like the thought of that light. He is the light of the world up there. Jesus sitting on the throne on top of the world, top of the church. Now, top of the church, because this is the true church. True church. Bride. Now, he's not sitting on top of her. He's sitting on top of it, which includes her. Because that's the city. And the people are there. And it's a pyramidal structure. It's terraced. 1,500 solid miles of bride people in a bride church. And up here, this will be the most beautiful. There's no way you can imagine. If I could talk all day and still be a complete ass standing up here. There's no way I can tell you anything about that. I just say what the Bible says. Solid gold. This throne would be the most amazing throne in the world. What a man be sitting on top of it, Christ Jesus. That's on top of Mount Zion. So it's the church, it's the bride, it's Zion. See, all the same thing. All right. Which is 1,500 miles high, half the size of the United States. And it rises plumb up until you can see him the world over. 1,500 miles high is where he's sitting. And all up and down the earth will be the redeemed. Now that sounds like they'll be all scattered from here. No, because all of these are redeemed. These people here, let's say that there's, what? I don't know. Out of the billions been on the earth all these years, 20 billion people. No, see, there'd be about, easy 20 billion people since 6,000 years. Easy 20, 30 billion people. Let's say that you've got 1,500 miles. You can put a lot of people in 1,500 miles. Especially when you begin stacking them up. What's the cheapest way to go? Condominium. You buy a piece of land worth $60,000 and you put a $10 million edifice. If you could buy it for $60,000 back in the old days, baby. Right, let's say you get paid $6 million for a piece of land. And then you build a $60 million apartment on it, a high-rise apartment. Hey, you know, years ago I went to Chicago on the lakeside. It's beautiful there. And they had these beautiful condominiums. And you know what they could do? You could go there, be born there, and never move outside of there. Got doctors, heaven forbid, and lawyers, heaven double forbid. Stores, drug stores, everything's there. Spas, beauty parlors, grocery stores, garage down below. You could actually, see, that's what he's talking about. All down here, see, these are redeemed too. Okay, let's go a little further. They're seen through all the world. And remember, all that is there are redeemed. Now, the carnal mind says, okay, that sounds silly, because we know that light travels in a straight line. So, you can't have people with, and the earth's going to be round because it's a round earth. He doesn't think he's going to make it square. The corners of the earth are square. The astronauts found that out. The landmass is four square. But the world itself is round. Okay? True. He sitteth on the circle of the earth. All right. First of all, the statement is erroneous. Because it will not be natural light from the sun anymore. But supposing it was. How many of you have ever honestly seen a mirage? Let me see your hands. Really seen a mirage? You know what I'm talking about then, don't you? You can suddenly see something 10 miles down the road. Right? I know because I've seen it many times. We have the elevators in a town called Granum, which is north of us. I live in southern Alberta, and that's where you see mirages. And boy, one morning you wake up, there's those elevators almost your front yard. How'd they get there? Refraction of light, evidently, upon some type of moisture. There is some type of haze that goes with it. Now, not maybe in the desert. In the desert, if you're used to desert, I think maybe some of you are up there, which I've never seen a desert mirage. You can see mirages in the desert. So, therefore, you cannot take a scientific statement and say, well, that couldn't be. Because everybody, the whole earth will say it's like this. And so here, up here, here's our little beautiful pyramid. Oh, it's bigger than that, of course. Everywhere around, the people can see everything. Now, what fabulous communication that means. You can just begin to see for yourself what TV could do and what TV does. This has got that beat a million different ways. You don't need any of this stuff that people have here. Okay, 252. We read this here already on 21, 23 to 27. Yes, I read again. And the city hath no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now remember, Christ is the glory of God. He's the wisdom of God. He's all of these things. And the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light. and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. So they're not a part of it. Right. And the gates that shall not be shut at all by day, there shall be no night there. And they shall, notice the repeat, and they shall bring the glory and honor of nations into it. There shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, every one of these is in the Lamb's book of life. Lamb's book of life, Zion, bright, true church. Half the head is a real man. Definitely. A real man. On the throne. And above the throne is the pillar of fire. And that emanates throughout the whole world. Now, Brother Branham preached it because we're supposed to be getting ready for this. This is no longer pie in the sky. This is pie on earth. No longer pie in the sky. No pipe dream. There will be houses of pure gold. There'll be avenues and parks and gardens and rivers of life trickling out from the throne and running down through little chasms and over terraces. Why? It's just a beautiful parkland. And the tree of life will be blooming in every yard. Now that's a prophetic utterance. In other words, likely the roots are going to go everywhere from the tree. Maybe the tree of life stays right up here somewhere. Who knows? I'm not an artist. You know I'm not an artist. But let's say we were drawing this away. That's a very poor diamond, isn't it? Talk about a diamond in the rough. That's a little bit too rough. Okay. There is the basic structure, and of course it goes up, up, up. See? But imagine all the beautiful workings through here coming up. The kerosene, the little rivulets. I just can't understand how it's done, but I know it's going to be done. You say, well, it takes gravity. It doesn't take gravity at all. It does. Look, you cannot relate this to anything which we call science. Because, and I'll tell you why. Because nobody knows anything anymore about that, what's down here. It's all wiped out. It's an entirely new system. I hope you're letting your thinking go, because that's the way this word is. When Brother Branham preached this word, it's so different, many words that's in the world today. It's a vindicated word. And I'll tell you, if we don't make it, ain't nobody else going to make it either. I can put it right down flat. Because it's a faith proposition, not a worst, lest any man should boast. And the tree of life be blooming in every yard, and bear its fruit 12 times a year, a changed fruit every month. Then the kings of the earth shall come into it and bring their honor. Now, kings represent the highest order. Therefore, what order has the bride? An order far beyond. In other words, she would be the very heart of God, because he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The bride of Adam was bone of his bone. She was structured from him. Flesh of his flesh. So will the bride have his flesh. And then this then suggests another order, or doesn't suggest, it lets you know that there is another order for the virgins down here. Does this then suggest that there could be a difference between the new physical makeup and this physical makeup? I don't know. Brother Branham did say, at the white throne, those that are predestinated. Or did he say predestinated lake of fire? No. He just mentioned too, there would be a body of those coming up, of the wicked, and they would be a body different from ours, but suited completely for what the judgment would entail and what it bring forth. A big difference. So could there be a difference here? The answer is yes, there could be a difference there. And might well be. because they are of the first resurrection. And these are the only ones I have any word about of being identical to him. I have no word about these. I have these being redeemed. We have animals redeemed because animals are in the Bible. We read it. The lion and the ox and the serpent, all of those things. And the lamb, they're all there. So there could be an order here. But the big thing we're looking at is what an order this bride must be in. That the kings bring their honor to the throne of God, just like the outside, the 11 tribes brought in, every one of them a tenth to Levi, see? When they bring their honor into that blessed land, and then they'll reach for the tree of life, break off a leaf of the tree of life, walk out together, there's no more war, everything's at peace, the leaves are a memorial for the healing of the nations. In other words, it could be continuous. A continuous symbolic action. See? All right. 253. One time we fought for one another's blood, brother, and we cherished, why he says this, I don't know. Cherished, whether he wants another word in there, amen, we killed each other off, but we still loved our own and hollered and shot people, burnt children, everything. But now there's peace at that time. In other words, there's nothing of this ever to go on again. The healing, not disease healing. It's all done. The healing of the nations, amen, which is the final step of redemption. Let's go back to Romans, the 12th chapter, 17 to 21, if I think I got this right here. Now, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. That's what we're supposed to be like now. If it possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, that's a tough one right there, because you simply don't live peaceably with all men. A lot of women can't get along with their husbands, husbands can't get along with their wives, and that's the best union we know of. You belong to each other. That's a pretty scattered event, too, a lot of times. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it's written, in other words, just get mad and walk off, and then don't stay angry. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou wilt heap coals of fire in his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now this here, you see, shows a completely new era. There's not the struggle there anymore to try to get along. You are getting along, and you commemorate it by plucking a leaf off and handing the other fellow. It's a ritual, type of part of life. See? Nature has changed itself over there. By the time we get there, we'll be all different people. 254. The city with the throne on top. Revelation 21, 23, and they had no need of light, for the Lamb and the Lord God is the light thereof. All right. Let's just take a peek back at the book of Psalms, chapter 18, and we'll see something about God in darkness. The ninth verse. He bowed the heavens also. We bowed them, one of the two also. And came down, and darkness was under his feet. Number 11. He made darkness his secret place. The pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Psalm 97. I think there's other verses too I could have run across. I just didn't look for more. And 3. A fire goeth before him, burneth up his enemies round about. So what I'm looking at here, well, number 2, clouds and darkness were round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitations of his throne. That's the one I guess I really wanted, was number 2. Because here, we are looking at the fact that one time God was veiled in darkness to the people. And he would not unveil himself except through a prophet. And he did through Christ too, the Redeemer prophet. But you'll notice at this time now, there is no darkness mentioned at all. There is no light. God in complete view as he wishes to have himself viewed and understood. Now watch, 255. The Lord God is that pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel through the wilderness. All right? That's exactly true. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual meat. All drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. There you are. Pillar of fire. Christ was in it, the same as always. Now, the Lord God is that pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel. And when he is ascended upon the throne in that perfect kingdom, at that time, it becomes the kingdom that Jesus is to surrender to the Father, that God might be all in and all. Now, he tells you, it's a new Jerusalem, when the Son is on the throne, that the kingdom that God gave him, all of this, is handed back to him. Up above the throne, the pillar of fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Starting with this hour. Let's read verse 20. For now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. That's from amongst the dead. The rest are lying there. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from among the dead. And from the dead. For as in all of Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every single child of God is going to come back. Bar none. But every man in his own order. See, there's your foolish virgin, your wise virgin. There's everybody. Everybody in his own order. Now watch. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his appearing, his presence. Now, we're looking for this hour, not the last hour. This does not refer to the time when Jesus came out of the tomb, out of the grave, and the others came out too. This is for us. And watch, it started already with the appearing. Now it says, then the end. Doesn't say then cometh the end. Then the end. In other words, the great major event that follows the appearing. In the great economy of God, listen to it, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority. Now watch. It's under this appearing that God comes down, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and the Lamb is on the throne. And here's what's happening. He must reign till it put all enemies under his feet. God has started something entirely new at this point of the appearing, which is consummated there over 1,000 years from now. Now watch what's going on. He is reigning, this one that came down. He's the capstone, the head of the church. He's God in the form of the Holy Spirit and the pillar of fire. And watch him. He's putting all things under whose feet? Jesus' feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. Lake of fire itself. Now, for he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifested that he is left out which did put all things under him. Now, this is not God putting God under himself. This is not some contortionist trick. This is God bringing everything under divine order to Jesus for the 1,000 years. And it's going on now. This is church order. As Brother Branham taught it, but the people never got it. They thought it's just a little bit of tongues and things. That's ridiculous. It just simply knows if you don't know that, you don't know anything else either. And we're not trying to be smart about it or puffed up. We're just saying the truth. This is tough meat for tough jaws and tough teeth. If you got milk teeth and you haven't got strong jaws, you go back to milk. You're back to Melchizedek right now, where Abraham saw him in a figure right on earth. Says, I've been looking for it, he said. You own it, and I want it. Time to shake hands with the owner of the city. If you're going to tell you one thing, if you can convince the owner that owns the Cadillac, you can drive it. If the owner of the Cadillac likes you enough, you can drive his Cadillac. And you follow what I'm saying now? And a little type here? You're getting the picture right now. All right. But when he said all things should be subdued unto him, then shall also the Son himself be subject unto him, that it put all things unto him, that God may be all in all. So you see what he's saying here? This one here that has the kingdom handed back to him. Let's just put this Elohim. The Lord himself, Elohim, shall descend with the message. Right down here. At that point, he works with the little top group. Now, we're going to make this the church ages. It's not really true now, but this turns into church ages. This is the seventh age. He works with this little bunch right here. So that every single thing can be brought into control, even death. Which means it is covenanted. It's commanded. It's an absolute divine will that every man dies. Then a judgment. And suddenly God cuts in here and he stops death. Now this one that came down, putting the church in order, so that this one here, the Son, physical, can rule. He's got 1,000 years. There comes a time after the millennium when I don't know, but maybe instantaneously, maybe a little breach, I don't know, after the white throne at least. Then it's turned back to him who did put all things under him. Now, that's what you're looking at. So Brother Branham says, it becomes the kingdom that Jesus is to surrender to the Father, that God might be all in and all. Jesus sits upon his throne here as our Joseph, the Son of Prosperity. Right. Everything will prosper. There'll be no more deserts. Why? Because they turn into a Garden of Eden. Then the King is that light that will be on top of Mount Zion, and his holy light will flood the entire city. Hallelujah. And from there, don't worry, it goes all out through here too. It'll be seen. 256. 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles square, with the paradise of God built all through that city. In other words, 1,500 miles each way and nothing but paradises. Streets, avenues. Read Revelation 21 again. See if it isn't right. See? They need no light, therefore the Lamb is the light. And he on the throne can be seen sitting there 1,500 miles high. And it doesn't run straight up on the perpendicular. Now, start again. The city is 1,500 miles high. And okay, we start at the base here. We draw a pyramid. Maybe slightly better this time. Okay? 15 miles high. Now, 1,500 miles this way, equilateral triangle. I guess we really got there. That's not quite the S9 more of an isosceles and equilateral. Now, he said, see, it doesn't go this way. He said it slants. In other words, let me put it this way. That isn't really true. That's a perpendicular. He said it doesn't go this way. See, like that. 1,500 miles high. It puts a slant to it. See? That's he telling you. Okay. Now, it doesn't run straight up on the perpendicular. It slants off like the pyramid. If it'd be half the distance then, run up like this. Now, I don't know. He's telling you, far as I can see what he's saying here. Now, he said, look, if you got about 1,500, half the 15, which is 750, he said, you'd obscure the city. You'd be obscuring it. And the city must be in view. Except for that little bit of foundation down there. The wall. So he said, there'd be an obstruction of the view. Because you couldn't have a city built that way. There's no way the city could work. It's got to be built like, you know, this here, terraced. See? Terraced condition. That's what he's pointing out as far as I can understand here. Now, let me go to 56 and paragraph 260. Notice on his throne, 1,500 miles high. Satan tried to tempt him on top of the mountain. See, the new city has 12 foundations. We went through it. 12 patriarchs, 104 cubits, being the breastplate of Aaron. 12 gates and so on. When he saints the crown and king, king, lord, lord, he's the headstone. So 1,500 miles high. All right. Now, I'm not interested in mathematics to the extent where I figure this whole thing out because I can't. But I got an understanding, I'm thinking right here, that the perpendicular is 1,500 miles high. Would be 1,500 miles. I don't know that the slant here would be 1,500 miles, yet it could be just 1,500 miles. But he's 1,500 miles high. Now, the figure then could be taken either way. I'm not going to try to guess it unless I got into the mathematics. You're a mathematical genius, so you can do it instead of me. But the idea is it's a pyramidal city, it's a pyramid. Now, did you notice that little group here? Now, he's going to make an inference. Did you notice the little group here? It's just about that part of the circumference it covers. In other words, back here. If you look at that city, now it doesn't have to be sitting that way. But it's going to be a diamond. Okay. From Georgia, California, to Saskatchewan, from Kansas to the rock-bound coast of Maine, that's what's gathered. That's what's represented here, about 1,500 miles square. Now, look, if you go all the way to California, you wouldn't make it. That's about 3,000 miles across. His other comments were the exact comments he mentioned. He said, all right, start at the coast over here. Come to Jeffersonville, let's say it's there. And I think he said 600 miles past over here is where you got it. Go down to Georgia, top of Florida. Come all the way from Maine, over down here, is what you see, almost one half the whole United States would be covered. And the strange thing is, in those services, you will find that the people literally came from those distances. They came from up in Toronto, they came from around Buffalo, they came from near Albany, they came from New York, they came from Macon, Georgia, they came some as far as from Coral Gables, they came up from Kansas, Tennessee, all the way around, right up north. Some even came to Saskatchewan the odd time, but up in that whole area. Typing, as it were, what? To make William Branham some great person? No. But to lay out a type at this hour that you're seeing fulfilled, an end-time bride that qualifies, actually, for the very dimensions of the very city. Because she already has her dimensions in Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, that's about what's represented here, about 1,500 miles square. Oh, they come from the east and west, they come from the land of fire to feast with our king, to dine. On what? Master, not by bread alone, but by every word. To dine as he guests, how blessed these pilgrims are. In the world, I have to say, I've never seen people like them. Oh, beholding his hallowed face aglow with light divine, best partakers of his grace, as gems in his crown to shine. Jesus is coming soon, our troubles will soon be o'er. But what if our Lord this moment should come? And so on. It won't be long. Everything's perfect geographically. Now there's Sodom. Now what's Sodom? Sodom is where the witnesses are, the two witnesses, the two messengers that went down to Sodom. Your two great influences are in the world today. Denominationally, when it comes to evangelism, are not Catholicism. They never have had it for many, ever since Luther. Never had it before Luther. There's just simply grotesquely taking people in by beatings and in by humiliation, any way they can do it. That's their history. They have not been evangelical. The evangelicals are Protestants. Although I think the Catholic Church is turning evangelical. Who were the two ones Brother Branham mentioned? Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. They had been down in Sodom, what doing? Blinding the people's eyes. And that's exactly true. Your type is perfect. We see Sodom where it is? Exactly. All right, the message, everything sitting just right. What does it mean? Just think. Coming to this little tabernacle, 1,500 miles square, from the same dimension. He's typing only. That's all. Because there's people sitting there that no more understood Brother Branham than a hedgehog understands how to, you know, to how to build a convection oven. It's true. Just know something's there, but they didn't understand anything. Some made him God. His ministry was so fantastic. I never could make him God because it wasn't that fantastic. Anybody born in sin can ever be that fantastic. Me, because I'm born in sin too. That lets the cat out of the bag, doesn't it? People are insane these days. Spiritual, everything. Why is it God so thought and cared so much about that little spot in Palestine, like he thinks this one? But right in there is where the temple is to sit. It's to be set up. That's where New Jerusalem will break up right there. The Mount of Olives shall cleave, part to the right and left sure when she pushes up from beneath. Now, if they said pushing apart like that, like pushing it out, he said, but it's pushing up. Now, what's pushing up be? Mountain? It's always a pyramid. Mountain's always a pyramid. In that day when he stands, his holy feet will be upon the mountain. Okay, let's go to Zechariah chapter 14. Because that's what it's talking about. So we go there. That's almost the last book in the Bible. Second to last. All right, read verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives which shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and shall be a very great valley. Half the mountain shall move toward the north and half toward the south. And so on. In other words, he says he places it as the Mount of Olives. Now he said, this one here speaks of a split, the other speaks of a pushing up. Where the New Jerusalem come on down. That'll turn into Mount Zion. What all it means, I don't know, but that's what he says. Notice on his throne, 1,500 miles high. Satan, remember, Satan tried to tempt him one time on the top of the mountain. See, the new city has 12 foundations as he went through it. The 12 patriarchs, 144 cubits being the breastplate of Aaron. 12 gates of pearl, 12 disciples' names. Jesus stands as the headstone on the throne. And when his saints have crowned him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's the headstone. Now, what is that one? That is Revelation chapter 19. Remember, Brother Branham categorically states, and this is a precept laid down in this hour, when that spirit that's amongst us becomes incarnate to us, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In other words, the one that came down becomes incarnated in Jesus, the one that sits up here. Then he leaves him. Okay. Revelation 19:11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon is called Faithful and True, and the righteous that he judge and make war. Eyes of flame as fire. Head many crowns. He had a name written no man knew but himself. Clothes of the vesture dipped in blood. Name is called the Word of God. The arm is rich, and heaven fallen upon white horses, clothed in white and fine linen, and white and clean. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, with which he shall smite the nations, and rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress, the fierce and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath the vesture on his thigh, a name written King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's been crowned King of the Wedding Supper. He comes back with the bride. All right, I don't have my pocketbook with me. But if you'll notice in your pocketbook, if you have a $1 bill, they have the seal of the United States, the eagle in one end, holding the spears and the coat of arms, as it were. I didn't purposely put it in my wallet, but I got one here. Okay, we see the eagle. We see the pyramid with the eye on top. He doesn't come all the way down. We see that, see what he says. All right, the sheaf of spears. Okay, the all-seeing coat of arms, the spears, and the pyramid with the all-seeing eye. They didn't know what they were doing. And on there, it's written in Latin. You'll find out it says, this is the great seal. They didn't know what they were doing. Neither did Caiaphas know he's prophesying. There's the great seal. Here it is, see? The city. It's not a flat cube like this, but it leans up so it can be seen, the pyramid. And upon this holy mountain, the Lord shall descend on top of his mountain. Here he is. That's the reason the capstone wasn't put on by Enoch. And that's some insightful person never put a capstone on the pyramid. They put an all-seeing eye. The all-seeing eye, of course, is what? God. See? God and his wisdom. Now, that's the reason the capstone has to come. Now, the spiritual capstone is here. The physical is yet to come. Okay. Jesus the man climbed Calvary's mountain and paid the price for Mount Zion, and we come by grace to receive it. So we thank God for the suffering blood that was shed by the Lord Jesus Christ to give us this privilege. Now, since Matthew 24:27 categorically states the light that comes to America, I'll read it for you. For the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Brother Branham so correctly said, the sun rises east and sets in the west. And the same light that was in Jerusalem, the same light that came to Paul, has come back to the church. As he said, just think how wonderful. The same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing the same word. So, we see here then the great seal. We see the all-seeing eye. Everything is a picture of the seventh seal breaking under the light of God, the same light that brought the first light to the Ephesian church. It's come back to us today, and we have the revelation of the seven seals and the whole Word of God as is necessary, of course, to Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 to 7. And this is indeed the fulfillment of 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself has descended to the earth with a shout. The message is here. The capstone himself is here, God in the form of the Holy Spirit. The Word is here as a capstone. The capstone prophet was here, and everything is here in its perfect order to this hour. Now, 262. These avenues and big freeways, as it were, parks and rivers of life will flow right through it. And every house will be made of transparent gold, and streets will be made of gold. And the trees of life will be there, will bear 12 manners of fruit. That sounds like there's going to be many trees of life, which is certainly not impossible. And the kings and the honored men of the earth shall bring their glory on the gates. And the kings shall, and the gates shall not be shut by night, because there's no night there. Now, this brings also another thought concerning the grandeur of this great celestial city with its various strata. The same as the foundations have their strata. Now, let's read, and we'll get your picture, in Romans the 8th chapter, because that's where I'm going to talk from. And we'll close pretty soon here, because I got no way I'm going to finish 12 pages today. And you can see that's just a complete misapplied hope. All right. Verse 14 of chapter 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They're the ones going to make it. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, My Father, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness our spirit with the children of God. And if children and heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Now look at, you're going to be glorified also, because the Bible said every son he receives he trains. So you'll be there, but what shape you're going to be there in? Every son that receives training, God blesses and gives him more training. Every son that shies away, God will bring him to the point where he must obey, or he'll be taken off the earth. And the Bible said, let no man take thy crown, no man take your reward. So there'll be people there who make it, as it were, by the skin of the teeth. And they will not be given the rewards that they could have laid up in heaven. You got to suffer. Because if you don't suffer, there is no character in that person. Now, existentialism is based upon suffering, and they say the purpose of life is suffering. That is not true. The purpose of life is not suffering. The purpose of life is gaining maturity in Christ. And suffering is the only way you can get it. So don't tell me the horse is the cart, or the cart is the horse. That fellow was a nice guy, but he's crazy. Like all Frenchmen. Just kidding, of course. the crazy Frenchman. Jean-Paul Sartre, isn't it? Absolutely wrong on his thesis. Absolutely wrong. He's correct to a point, but you see, if you're not correct all the way, where's it going to get you? That's what Paul said. If Christ be not risen from the dead, and in this life only we have hope. He said, who gives a rip? He said, who wants it? He said, that's a bunch of hogwash. Forget about suffering. Go out and eat and drink and be merry and have a ball. Because that's all you're going to get. I don't believe in John Paul. I believe in Paul. I don't believe in Sartre or John Paul 1 or 2. I believe in Paul, number 1. Amen. Hope you catch my innuendos. You're not so in you. You know, they're not there. They're open. They're very open. All right. We're looking at this picture then here of the fact of reigning and ruling with him, which we will. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Now watch, 11th verse. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So, what we were looking at is the possibility and the understanding that there will be many people in here also called kings and princes, which they are, because we are kings and priests unto God, right? So in here, see, now all these people will be constantly coming, as I believe these coming in here, see, will be constantly worshiping, praising God, and coming to his very presence. How blessed for those who have access to that presence. Not just in number one down here. And I'm not saying in any way they're cut off, because I don't know. But there's certainly a strong suggestion that you can't go to heaven in a rocking chair. No. Can't do it. There must be diligence. Whatever God requires, my brother and my sister, we ought to learn to do. There's a lot of things we will never do. Okay, let's be honest. We'll never do them. But there are many things we can do. And I believe, look, there was a great king here, and his name was old Nebuchadnezzar. I'll just call him Neb. And here was another king down here, and his name was Darius. I'll just call him Dar. Another fellow down here, and his name was Philip. We'll call him Phil, and so on. This was number one. I don't care what anybody says. This fellow was number two, and I care less what anybody says. And this fellow was number three, and I care less, somebody said. And old Caesar down here, old Sid himself, number four. Now, you do what you want. That was number one in the sight of God. And it never, ever changed. He said, you are that head of gold. All right, let's say a lot of kings down in here. His king's down here, and king down in here, down and down here. Couldn't there be some number ones, and number 20s and 30s and 40s? The Bible said every man should strive, but legally, to win his race and get his crown. And you know what? I only believe, as far as I know, the only people ever crowned are kings. Kings. And I tell you, that's right, you got to gain your crown. Let no man take thy crown. So let's not forget this, see? And remember, this is for the purpose of bringing honor and glory in. If, even as a child, there has never been a little child that's a real child. Not some of the stuff that we see nowadays. My God, don't understand where they were hatched or something in a cockatrice den or something. You had to get that way. But a little child normally is so happy to please. To please. And you know, we should children be happy to please. How? By faith. And faith always takes trials. Always takes suffering measure. You know, your faith today is growing by the grace of God in the Word of God. someday your faith may be put through the ringer, and it might be very long either. You don't think for 1 minute moving to St. Paris, the churches there aren't going to say, who are these guys? We're scared we'll lose some people. I can stand there and say, look, I don't want your people. I wouldn't take them on a shovel. Not interested. I got nothing to tell them. I have nothing to tell those people. If God has a sheep for you, let me tell you something. They're going to be glad to get rid of them. Not boasting, just the truth. I'm not interested. You say, well, you're a cold-blooded guy. I'm not a cold-blooded guy. I'm a last age person. And I don't grow here when there's frost in the ground and try to plant the peas and the corn. And I'm not out there now trying to harvest peas and corn either. So we're not fools. That'd be pressure, don't worry. It's coming. You can forestall a lot of it. We've got a good lawyer and a good accountant at this point. But we don't have any judge in our pocket. But we have got God on our side. Now he said, there's no night there in that city where the Lamb is the light, in the city where there cometh no night. I have a mansion over there that's free from toil and care. Oh, I'm going where the Lamb is the light. Don't you, number 263, don't you see the towns, the cities, the houses, the dwellings are speaking of that right now? In other words, the very society we have today is letting you know we have gone from a rural to an urban. Everybody wants to go from the urban to the rural. That is to the millennium. But after the millennium, you go from the rural to the urban. And this is a type of it, because America has already gone through the rural. And you want to go back. How are you going to be rural here? Well, the country's paved with people. Sure. Now, all these shadow, natural things are a shadow. Take a shadow at a distance. Take my hand, he said. Put it between the light and the board. You can't see because there's not enough light here. I already said, when you like this here, it looks like I got about 10 fingers. Maybe you're all kinds of shadows. Closer and closer, pretty soon the hand and the shadow become one. That's what you're looking at. Before there can be a negative, there has to be a positive. That's right. Before there's got to be a shadow, there's got to be something to cast it. You see that shadow looks like it got a dozen fingers. But when you go sitting closer together, it focuses down to one. Then the shadow fades into a hand. In other words, just one shadow now, not different shadows. That's a lot of times people think there's three or four gods. You're looking too far back to the early reformers, see? But come on down now, getting closer to focusing in. What do you see? One God exactly, not three. See? Now, we're getting close to the millennium, Brother Branham says, and from the millennium, it's just a step into the New Jerusalem. Okay, there was an evolution of the Reformation. But now Reformation gives way to restoration. Restoration. And restoration, the word speaks what one thing? Restored earth and restored heavens. But remember the 1,000-year resting gap in between. Don't let that throw you. So, many minutes. There's one bride, not a dozen denominations. One bride that's elected out of the earth, that's been predestinated to this. The ones who can recognize their place in the kingdom. All right, now, those that are in this have recognized their predestinated place in the kingdom. All right, what about the fact that hundreds of thousands, if not millions, say the same thing? Well, they say the same thing you people down here say. So what's the big deal? Well, that's a good question, but it's not much of a good question when you really look at it. Because anybody can say it, but where's the truth of it? See? Now, to recognize. Let's go back to Job. Now, anybody can believe this. Anybody. I tell you, anybody can believe what we're going to read. And say, well, hey, praise God, I've got that down pat. 10 to 14, Job 14. As the water falls as the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up. So a man lieth down, ariseth not, the heavens be no more, they shall not sleep, and not nor be raised out of their sleep. They shall not awake and raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou hadst had me in the grave, and thou would keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldst appoint me a set time in me. If a man die, shall he live again all the days of my appointed time, while I wait, shall my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the works of thine hands. For now there's number of my steps, dost thou not watch over my sin. Job said, look, I know what I'm talking about. I'm one of those fellows. I'm going to be there, and don't try to get in my way. 19, chapter Job, 25, 27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand upon the earth the latter day, and thereafter my skin worms destroy this body, and my flesh shall see God, whom I shall see myself, and I shall behold not another, though my reins be destroyed and consumed within me. He said, look, I'm going to see him myself. I'm going to be here. Bless God, don't you try to pull anything on me. All right, fine. Glad to hear that. Let's go a little further. Let's go to Ephesians 1. Now, these people are full of the Holy Ghost. Verses 13, 14. They're sealed in by the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul says, wherefore also, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and of all saints, cease not to give thanks to you, make mention of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him, to the end. The eyes may, understanding may be enlightened. You may know his hope of his calling, what the riches of glory and inheritance of saints is, and you may also know and have what is the exceeding greatness of the power to us we believe, according to the word of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, raising the dead, and set his own right hand in heavenly places. Now tell me about that one. You're so sure, you're so cocky, you're so bold, you've got the answers, you're going to make it. Tell me about this. This tells you how you're going to make it, and they don't even believe it. I thought all unbelievers are going to go to the lake of fire. See, the people only believe what their churches teach, but no church teaches this, and I can prove it. I'll take you to every manual, every book ever written, and they say, we don't know. Now bring on the popes. He's a smart man. In spite of the fact he's Polish, we'll forgive him that. Bring on the Metropolitan, the Greek Orthodox. Assemblies of God. The Archbishop of Canterbury. Bring them on. Tell me what it means. I want to know. They haven't got an answer. Because I read your books. Every scope, every book store I go to, I pick up every single book on theology, every commentary. They cannot tell me. They say, this will come. What it is, we don't know. Let me tell you, Brother Branham said it was. Quoting him, I forgot to write him about it. He said, the spirit of wisdom and revelation comes in the church. And that spirit of revelation will let the church know the hour it is living in. And the great secrets of Almighty God, which is what it is. And that's Revelation 10, 1 to 7, the same. And that's by vindicated prophet, not by me trying to tell you, but a vindicated prophet tells people. So here it is. Predestinated, who can recognize their place in the kingdom. Not just talking about Job. Anybody can quote anybody else. What about yourself? Where does your faith go this morning? To some dead seminary, some theology? Look, I've been all through that stuff. How can anybody says? We'll suffer for this before it's over. I might not, because I don't know how many years I got here. But I could live. God forbid, my crazy Hungarian buddy wants me to be 85 years old before I pass off. I'm not quite sure I want to be 85. I don't want to be 75 even. See, Brother Slaybaugh, 75, didn't do me any good, did it? After 70, you're in for trouble, and I can prove that. Hand over fist. And foot over foot. That's true. Some of you have a whole lot more trouble before you're 70 even. I personally don't care to live that length of time. But I'm going to tell you, it's very possible I could be standing right here when all hell breaks loose. Because it will. The minute that you dare to stand for anything that is contrary to the mainstream of the hogwash of the devil, you have got trouble. I don't care who you are. You got trouble, you got all kinds of trouble. It'll be coming, don't worry. But you know what? The predestinated better know. Because that's the only knowledge that's going to get you out of here. It's not as I know in whom I have believed and persuaded, that he is able to keep that which I've done unto him, because that's true. But have you made the right commitment? Some church, some shaking hands, some this, some that. That ain't going to get you through, brother, sister. You can commit yourself to the highest form doctrine in all this world and say, well, we believe the most marvelous truth. Go ahead. Doesn't prove anything. Tell me. Show me some healings and a few things like that. That doesn't mean a thing. You get 5% healing and 95% failures. But there was a prophet who was vindicated. He said, well, I don't believe it. Doesn't bother me any. I do believe it. What do you got that'll come to it? See? Brother Branham was trying to show us there is a material conception based on a spiritual that goes back from the material to the spiritual and then from into eternity. We have gone through it, my brother and my sister. Thank God, I feel every day I'm getting more and more ready for the great city. Whether it's ready for me or not, I am sure ready for it. To lay down the shovel and hoe and hang up the fiddle and bow. Just go on to the land of bliss. Let's rise and be dismayed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your love and your grace and your mercy. It makes these things very real to us. I wish they were as real as when the prophet spoke it. And I think in many ways they're even realer because that was back there hearing the sermon. But today, Lord, we're looking at it as living word, as something which is absolutely final, absolutely...